One of my favorite portions of the worship service is the reading and the listening of the scripture. And sometimes we just close our eyes and listen. Sometimes we read up on the screen. But what I really enjoy is listening and hearing the reactions of people. Because sometimes scripture comes alive and it causes us and spurs us to chuckle, to laugh, or maybe even a little bit confusion. And that's the beauty in parables, is that there's so many perspectives and ways to look at these stories and parables. Let us pray. Holy One, open our hearts and sharpen our minds to receive today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place, and we believe that you are here. Fall afresh on us as we gather to encounter you. Help us, O God, to sense your movement in our lives and in the world, and encourage us to not simply listen, but to respond. And may the words from my mouth and meditation of our hearts be holy, acceptable, and pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Many of you know that Sarah, me, Jonah, and Emma just came back into town. It's already been 2 weeks that we're out in Guam and Manila, Philippines, having quality time. And we're so grateful for the time of rest, the time of Sabbath, and quality, really quality family time, connecting. And in our flight home, we flew through Japan, Narita International Airport. Narita to Seattle, I think it's about a 12 to 13 hour flight. And with two young ones, Jonah being 4 and Emma being 2 next month, it was quite challenging, to say the least. But after about 3 hours, they started winding down. Jonah was in Sarah's right arm, in between me and Sarah, and Emma fell asleep on Sarah's lap. And I said to myself, what am I going to do now? They're all asleep. I'm going to watch a movie, I told myself. So I found myself drawn and completely compelled to watch the movie Selma. It's been on my list to watch. How many of you have seen the movie Selma? By show of hands. Okay, all right. For those who haven't seen it yet or aren't familiar with the movie, I'm going to give you a little background and context. It's a movie that came out in 2014, a historical drama of deep significance in the U.S., in U.S. history, pointing to the civil rights movement. Folks were taking a stand for justice, standing up and marching against racial discrimination. It's a movie that focuses on the Selma to Montgomery voting rights marches in 1965. Marches that were led by John Lewis, Hosea Williams, James Bevel, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., all giants in the civil rights movement, many of them clergy. And there's a scene from this movie that struck me as I was reading and reflecting on the lectionary reading in Luke 18 that Reverend Derek had read, in the parable of the widow and unjust judge. And Stephanie and Ron are going to play a short clip, and I'll leave it to the choir. It's a very short clip. You can see it right there. There's a screen. Okay. It's a very short clip. And it's a scene of a woman named Annie Lee Cooper, who's portrayed by Oprah Winfrey. And this is what came to mind when reading the parable. So let's take a moment to watch this scene.
You work for Mr. Dunn down at the rest home, ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
wonder what old Don will say when I tell him one of his gals down here stirring a fuss.
I ain't stirring no fuss. I'm just here trying to register the vote.
Recite the Constitution's preamble. You know what a preamble is?
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union.
How many county judges in Alabama?
67.
Name them.
Let that sit with you for a moment. What feelings does that scene, do those statements evoke for you? It's a scene with two characters, one county registrar definitely being living a life of being unjust, denying one's right to vote, denying Annie Lou Cooper her constitutional right to vote. And there's Annie Lou Cooper, a black woman in the South in the 60s, trying to be persistent, but continually being denied that right. Annie Lou Cooper was born in 1910 in Selma, Alabama. She left to go to Kentucky to live with her siblings, and in 62 returned to Selma to help care for her elderly mother, which a lot of us can relate to. She was appalled by the fact that although she had been registered to vote in Pennsylvania and Ohio, when she returned to Selma, to the South in Alabama, she was unable to. That right was being withheld from her, and it compelled her and moved her to take action and to participate in the civil rights movement. And in this attempt to register to vote and to continually apply and register and continually being rejected, she was fired from her job as a nurse at a rest home. This scene in the life of Annie Cooper is a powerful picture of persistence, a picture of being persistent in the cry for justice, a picture of being persistent in the cry for freedom. As disciples of Christ, we are called to be persistent in our cries for justice. We're all in different seasons in our life and in our faith journeys. Has there ever been a time for you where you've just come to accept how things are, saying, well, that's just the way things work. That's the way things are. Or I've done all I can and I've done as much as I can in this situation, in this relationship with this person, in my career, in being in retirement, and in my faith. I'm content. I've done my part. Whether it's the work you've done here at church, or whether it's the work that you do, the great work that we do in the community, sometimes we just get to that season where we're content. The parable of the widow and unjust judge is so unique. It offers a rich story of persistence and resistance. The story, on one hand, reminds us of God's persistent and everlasting love for us. God loves each and every one of us so deeply with an everlasting love. And it reminds us that we could trust God's persistent love for us. But it's also a story that reminds us that as followers of Christ, we are called to be boldly persistent in our actions, in how we live today. How to be resistant as individuals, and how to be resistant as a community, as a faith community, against injustice. Most folks call it the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. But perhaps the Spirit is moving in a way where we could look at the text as persistent seekers of justice. Like many parables, the meaning and interpretations vary depending on the interpreter, the commentator, the reader, the listener. We all have particular contexts and experiences in which we bring a particular lens to the Bible and to the story. The two characters in today's scripture reading are a widow and a judge. And widows were among the most vulnerable persons in ancient society, having nothing, nothing at all. No husband, no inheritance, no social standing. The Hebrew word for widow means the one who is silent, one unable to speak, one having no voice. In ancient society, males played the public role, and in which women didn't speak on their own behalf. If a widow had no son, she might return to her family. Widows were often left to fend for themselves, like in the book of Ruth, where Naomi and Ruth journey back to Bethlehem as widows. They found themselves journeying from Moab to Bethlehem, searching for food, shelter, and really just struggling to survive. Widows in ancient times were the symbol of the exploited and the oppressed, perhaps even abused and enslaved by others. So a powerless woman, a widow, stepped out of the social norm in ancient times. In the text that we heard today, had no one to advocate for her, no family member to speak on her behalf. But in this parable, we see something just a little bit different that pushed against the social norms of the day. She not only spoke up directly to the judge, but kept going persistently to the judge, asking the judge, "Give me justice in this case against my adversary." In another version, it says, "Grant me justice against my opponent." The judge, just like the video clip, is clearly described as unjust, one who neither feared God nor had respect for people. I can picture it now, a persistent widow pounding on the door of the judge, relentlessly pursuing this judge, persistently going to this judge, asking for justice. This scene and this parable is so rich and pushes us to ask some questions and to ponder and make me ask, when was the last time I prayed so persistently like this widow in the text? Being so persistent in prayers and pleas, this is such a beautiful reminder, that reminds us to lift up every joy and concern to God, to lift up every one of our fears and doubts that we hold, to lift up everything that saddens us, to lift up our cares and concerns to the Holy One who hears and listens to everything that we say, to everything that's unspoken deep within our hearts. But the story also propels us to ask, what issues are going on today? What actions are we taking personally? What are we doing as people of faith that is causing us to be persistent and bothersome in the eyes of others? We're living in a time and place in 2016 as a community of faith where we live in a world of so much injustice, where we're being called to do something bold as we seek to live out our call to faithful discipleship. But what is it? That's something we all need to wrestle with and ask ourselves. This story pushes us to ask, who are the widows in our lives? Who are the people on the margins, the unnoticed, the invisible, the forgotten? Who are the most vulnerable today in which we need to take a stand for and be a voice for? And need to be persistent in the struggle of justice with, together. And who do we need to persistently stand in solidarity with? Perhaps it's the unsheltered, the homeless. Or maybe it's those of a different sexual orientation than our own, the LGBTQ community. Or maybe it's taking a stand for full inclusion in the church. For folks who feel and who are still being discriminated against when it comes to spousal benefits, the right to marry, the right to love who you choose to love. Or maybe it's to stand for and to build bridges with those who hold different religious beliefs and practices than our own. Who is God calling us as a church community to be persistent, to be a persistent friend to and a persistent ally with? And who are the powerless, the vulnerable, and those being pushed down and cast aside? And today it's the immigrant, the migrant, the refugee. It's standing with our Muslim brothers and sisters who are being profiled and harassed every single day in this country. And perhaps it's standing up and marching with and standing in solidarity with our black and brown brothers and sisters. We read the news every day, so many disturbing things happening in the world. And I don't know if you read, I think it was yesterday or a couple of days ago, that three men were recently in Kansas. Were discovered by the FBI. Three men were stockpiling firearms, explosives, planning to bomb an apartment complex in Garden City, Kansas. And what was their intent? Who were they targeting? It was a unit. A community comprised of over 120 Somali immigrants. This is just a couple days ago. These are things that are happening today. Folks who feel threatened, who are afraid of difference. There is so much work to do in our cry for justice, to be persistent in our faith to work for justice. Classism, racism, sexism, ageism, being treated as less than based on gender identity. All of these isms are real and exist. Whether it's overt, whether it's subtle, we may not see it, or whether it's deeply embedded in an institution. On the church calendar, It's Lady Sunday and a season of saints. And it's a time of pausing and trying to recall and think about the people, the saints in our lives who've been an impact, who've made an impact on us. And perhaps it's a saint who has gone before us, who's set an example of being persistent in prayer, persistent to stand up and work for compassion and justice in the world. On my trip to the Holy Land, before I graduated from seminary back in January, I graduated in May, but this is a trip to the Holy Land back in January, I found myself in the town of Caesarea, standing in a large oval amphitheater and walking over to another area, kind of like a Colosseum. And according to biblical text and historical text, these were places where Christians, people of faith, were tortured, mocked for what they believed and stood up for. We often think of these early Christians as our saints. But if we think about the people in our lives and in this community, Blaine has such a rich history of saints. Who in our lives can we think of that has pursued discipleship relentlessly? Who in the Seattle community? There's so many people to name. But as I came in this summer, one of the first things that I heard about was the Lord's Table and the awesome work of the Lord's Table and feeding of the homeless. So I think of Kei Abe. I think of Jan Yamamoto, the saints in this community, in this region, who began working towards feeding the homeless, who felt a call to stand up and take action, feeding the homeless, the unsheltered. That's been going on for over 20 years now. Could you imagine the persistence of not only Kei Abe, Jan Yamamoto, but all of you, some of you? So many people are connected to this ministry, whether they attend Blaine or they don't. Friends, relatives, acquaintances, so many people feeling compelled to help out with the Lord's Table. Persistence. Faith in action, dedicating their time of serving and feeding the most vulnerable. So, who are the widows in our lives today? Let us pray. God of compassion and God of justice, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Help us to be a people of faith who are persistent in prayer to you, but also persistent in our faith in action, standing and working for justice, and also resisting forms of injustice. Holy Spirit, empower us to be a people and a church of nagging persistence like the widow. To be loving, compassionate, and stewards. Holy Spirit, move us, shake us, and show us how to be relentless in our discipleship. Teach us how to have a faith in action like Annie Lee Cooper, who took a persistent stand for justice. Open us up and move us to continue the work of ministry like that of Kei Abe and Jan Yamamoto, and all those who participate in the Lord's Table, and those who participate in the world, standing for love, compassion, and justice for all. By the power of the Holy Spirit, empower us to believe, to love, and serve you, O God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.